Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone. It is Michelle Bursell, and I want to welcome you to episode 20, Forgiving Yourself When You Mess Up. And I'm going to teach you how to do it the emotional empowerment way, because from the emotional empowerment lens, when you mess up, and you are going to, because you're human, I'm human, we all mess up, there is a spiritual growth opportunity and an emotional growth opportunity. And I can't wait to share with you today when we get into guilt and shame, as well as 6 steps to make amends and forgive yourself and really move forward from your mistake. Before I get into more of those details, I do want to thank you for tuning in, pressing play, and allowing me to be your guide for the next few minutes or so, and honoring you for being willing to go inward and start to make shifts inwardly so that your external world feels even better. Because what you are doing as you apply emotional empowerment is changing your relationship with your inner self. And doing that through your emotions also changes your relationships with all your different feelings. And that's what's going to help you create an inner world that reflects an outer world that feels just amazing to you. It's not a light switch. It takes practice. So I honor you for being willing, again, to tune in and to keep applying this work. And as you'll see today, this work does not make us perfect in any way. It certainly does not make me perfect in any way. We are going to be human. And that's why when I share with people the emotional empowerment process, it's not that you'll never experience anxiety again, anger again, frustration again. We have these emotions for us, for signals, right? So it's like saying if you burned your hand on a stove, you want to be grateful that you had a signal, a pain signal guiding you to move your hand from the stove. We're not saying we're never going to burn our hand again, but it's going to teach us so that we're more aware. And from our awareness, we can make better choices for ourselves. And sometimes we just slip up. And so when that happens, when we make a mistake, you cross a line, and you will feel guilty and ashamed. Now, I want to get in a little bit about the empowered version of guilt versus the disempowered version of guilt. Empowered guilt is the signal of guilt, is all about what are your standards. And your standards may be different than my standards or your neighbor's standards or your parents' standards or your friend's standards. And it's really important that you are true to you. So you may feel guilty. Maybe a friend makes you feel guilty that you're not calling them every day, but deep down, you don't want to talk to them every day, okay? Or maybe you were having a conversation with your mom or your dad, and they start lecturing you and call you a name, and you tell them calmly, you know, I prefer that you don't call me that name. And then they get mad at you and you feel guilty, right? That is the disempowered version of guilt, because you're allowing someone else's standards to dictate how you feel, rather than really check in with, how do I really feel about this? Do I want to call this particular friend or person every day? If I don't, then that's appropriate for me to be able to say, you know, I enjoy talking to you. I just don't have a particular need to talk every day. And if that doesn't work for that person, that's okay. but it shouldn't make you feel bad for who you are. The same with if you're talking to a relative, they call you a name, or anyone that calls you a name, and you tell them calmly, I prefer you don't do that, that if they feel upset by that, then that's on them. That's their feelings. And you having a healthy boundary is the opportunity for you to really claim, like, all I'm doing, you don't have to say this to the other person even. You can just know within yourself that you're feeling guilty because you're being guided by your ego to go back into a standard that is not yours, meaning I shouldn't speak up and share my truth because that makes other people upset. Your ego is telling you that, but the guilt is being signaled to you to say, that's not your standard. Your standard is to be spoken to respectfully, and you have a right to share that with others in a calm way. So that's the disempowered version of guilt. Now, you can also feel guilty as a signal that you've crossed your own line. You've crossed your own value system. And we need that, right? It's good to be made aware of, like, whoa, I totally crossed my own belief system and what I value. And I've got to be aware of that so I can learn from it and resolve my mistake as much as possible. So you can't wipe it away, but you can do your best to resolve it. So I'm going to be vulnerable. For those of you who have been listening, you know that I share my own experiences because I think it's important that when we're leading something, and I do feel that emotional empowerment is a modality that I feel very comfortable in, and it's my expertise. And just because it's an expertise doesn't mean that makes me less human. And so it's really being able to say, you know, we're going to have these moments where we mess up. And then how do we pick ourselves up? Because especially if you're emotionally sensitive, it is so easy to get yourself into a shame spiral. And for those of you who have been challenged by your emotions, who are emotionally sensitive, you know what I mean by that shame spiral. It can last and last and last. I've seen people have their shame spiral last for decades. And so we want to be able to pick ourselves up from that, because that shame is not your truth. Even when we mess up, I promise you that shame is not our truth. The shame is our ego's identity of who we are. And our job, emotionally and spiritually, is to see through that so that we can grow, so that we can be more of our best selves. So let me get into where I crossed my own line. It wasn't that long ago, less than a week ago. And my kids go out, they're teenagers. I had a curfew for them. And the long and short of it is one of my sons broke his curfew and then got lippy to me about it via text. And I'm telling you, I was just lit up in anger. I was like, what the F is going on? In part because I feel like between my kids and I, there's this mutual respect. They know that I have my rules. I try to be flexible. I listen to them. And so basically, when that gets challenged, I really have to take in, like, do I need to be more flexible, or are they just being disrespectful? Now, because my son's tone on top of it was disrespectful, like, I was just triggered. There's no other way around it. Now, I will say that I knew I was triggered. I prayed for guidance, and it still didn't stop. It just still did not stop my disempowered anger, which went off. I started swearing at my son, calling him names. And one thing to know about me is that I'm really big in not calling names. I know how that can impregnate into our subconscious. And so really, I was out of control. And so I called him names. I was swearing, and I was wrong. I was really wrong, despite him breaking curfew despite him being disrespectful in the text. So I had to take a breath and really realize how my disempowered anger took a hold of me. And so that's one of the major things that we have to do when we cross a line. Like I'm telling you, I was like triggered and shaking and just that out of control, disempowered anger. And I have to on some level be like, oh my gosh, apologize to you if on some level, because this is what I was reminded of when I was doing the Kali episode. And I was like, I don't get angry with my kids. Well, I don't get angry that often, but once or twice a year, I can get totally triggered. And I think for parents, these are the moments when we're like, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm a good mom or I don't think I'm a good dad, because we know deep down we didn't handle something well. And that is a part of our growth. So I did feel super ashamed, like, oh my gosh, should I even be teaching people when I can get this far out of control? But when I went through the process that I'm going to share with you, it got me back to my truth. And I just want you to know you're not alone. And so if in that Kali episode I made you feel like I never get angry, I want to apologize for that, because I do. I just am not. What I was trying to convey is that I'm not a person that gets angry by the little things, because I think when we do that, we take away from people's seriousness about like when we're really upset. Now, we also have a responsibility when we're really upset about how we want to manage that. And my learning curve here was clearly I did not manage it well. And I did not manage it based on my standards. So here's how you move forward. I want to put a side note here that there's ways in which these are not like step by step. There are six components, and a couple of these could be moved around. But this is the order that I did them in, and I want to share them with you. First of all, number one, when you realized you crossed a line of your own, apologize. Because your ego will try to make it seem that it's okay that you crossed a line, that whatever someone else did justifies you crossing your own line, which when we take a step back, you can see it doesn't. Like, nothing justifies you crossing your own line. It's your line for a reason. And that reason is because your higher self knows that is not the truth of who you are. So my higher self knows, like, anger is good. Anger creates boundaries and respect when handled calmly. And so I needed to apologize for not being calm and lashing out my anger in an unhealthy way, and also calling him a name, which is totally against my standard. Like, I just don't believe in that. And that just can tell you, when we're feeling out of control, what the ego can, like, how it can hook us, because it can totally take us against our own standards. So I apologized. I apologized for swearing and calling him a name. And I made it clear to him, and this goes into step number two, what can I offer in return? And what we can offer in return is not a cookie or, you know, we can offer a hug. We can offer a way to make amends. And for me to make amends, it was being super clear that when anyone calls you a name, even your mom, even your dad, that whatever that name is, that's really that person. So when I was calling my son this big, you know, a-hole jerk, that was me. I was being the a-hole jerk. Truly. So I wanted him to really take away that people may call you names in life, and that's really more about them. And that was my short-term way of making amends. In the long term, I need to make amends knowing that my son may not completely trust me the next time I get angry. Like, am I going to go off? And not just my son, all my kids. Like, whoa, it's scary when someone loses control of their anger. So I have to really be able to show up in a different way with my anger and learn from this experience, which we're going to get into more of the steps. But in the long term, also with him, I owe it to him to build him up, because I think studies say it takes about every 10 compliments to make up for someone putting you down or being critical towards you. And so I have to be aware of that and do so in a very authentic way, not overly do it because of my own disempowered guilt, but be mindful that I need to make up for that karmic imbalance, right? So one, apologize. Two, what can I offer in return? So an apology is an offering in return. I also wanted to be even more vulnerable and help him see that the way I was acting was out of control, despite how I didn't like how he was communicating with me, right? Three, go inward and ask yourself, what is this about for you when you crossed your own line? Because there's a reason why you did it. And if you don't do this next step, if you don't take in this third component, you're going to do it again, not as punishment, but because you're not understanding this part of you. So understand why you crossed your own line. And if you're making it about the other person, that's not your truth. So we have an ability to react or respond. And the reaction is our ego, and the response is coming from our higher self. Especially if you react from anger, it's an opportunity to look at why you felt powerless and how your ego felt threatened. So for me, there was a couple layers of this. I felt powerless. I felt out of control because I was really feeling like my son was going to ignore me. And I was like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? I really never had my kids like completely like dismiss what I was saying to them. And it was really important that I could see that part of me wanting to have control. That was layer one of what this was about for me. Layer two is we have some addiction patterns in my family that started with relatives when they were teens. And what this allowed me to see is that even on a conscious level, I had no idea that I was freaked out about what it means to be parenting now when I have three children, 16, 15, and 15, what that means. And a deep down fear that my family, that by no means is perfect, but I will tell you, I just feel so blessed that I have this sweet family that despite our mistakes, despite our imperfections, we love each other. And I think there was this deep down fear of how, you know, decisions like alcohol and drugs and all that can just really impact a family and impact that level of closeness. And so there was a part of me that felt threatened that that could go away. So step number four was go back if the person is willing and share the deeper fear. That was, I think it's significant to help people understand, like, here's the surface level of it. And it's not by sharing our, you know, what was happening on a deeper level that we make excuses for ourselves. I think it's allowing someone more in. It's like, I'm going to be vulnerable and open and just help you understand what was going on for me. And with that, I think there's an opportunity to ask help from the other person. And I say this a lot and share this a lot with couples. You know, based on our past, we're going to have things that trigger us more. Like if your parents abandoned you, or maybe they got a divorce and that divorce meant something very significant to you about abandonment, it's your responsibility to address your own inner abandonment, right? At the same time, when you're in partnership with someone, it's okay to tell them, like, this is a sensitive thing for me, and it can help me if fill in the blank. Like, you just give me a heads up or something that doesn't make them completely responsible for your abandonment, but can make it a little softer for you. And that's exactly what I asked from my son. I said, you know, this is what it was about for me, our relatives with addiction issues. And I think it just totally triggered that for me, as well as with my own issues with wanting to keep control over you guys, even though I can't do that at the same level. Now that you're teenagers, I've got to really lean into trust. What will help me with that is if when you're communicating with me, you can be more respectful. That's going to help me. And I think that's going to help us overall, so we don't get into arguments. I don't want to argue with you. And helping him see, like, this is your part where I'm expecting you to step into. You've been respectful to me. We need to continue that respect. Disrespect does not mean I go off like I did. And at the same time, I want you to know on a deeper level what this means for me. And I think there was a deeper understanding and a deeper compassion from where I was coming from, and knowing that, like, oh gosh, I could tear up right now just saying it. Like, I just want what's best for them and never for them to fall, to make a mistake that brings you so far in a hole that it's so hard to get out of. And not that it's impossible. It is. I've seen that hole and how hard it is to get out. And I'm fortunate that we have enough of a basis, enough of a foundation that he could take that in, and we could both take each other in and offer forgiveness. Step 5, make a plan for what you can do differently next time, because we will be challenged with this again, right? So honestly, in the past, I would say a prayer and I would kind of get in a zone where I would be okay, usually. I'm realizing as this is touching on a deeper fear, I've really got to, like, do a timeout for myself. As soon as my kid came in, I, like, pounced. He came in the driveway. He was late. I opened the garage door for him. I was just, like, ready to be on him. And that's not going to help me be the person that I want to be. I need to give myself a timeout, maybe go into deeper prayer, do something, ask my husband for help. This is really triggering me. Wait until I can get into that space where I know I'm acting from a place of boundaries and respect before I go into conversation. That's my plan. I've been blessed, and I am saying blessed, with a scenario that went exact opposition of who I want to be, to remember how bad it sucked to be that version of myself. I didn't like myself in that moment. I was filled with shame in that moment. And those feelings are not the truth of who I am either. But I think from that pain, we can learn and say, you know, just like touching the hot stove with our hand, like, wow, next time let me move my cutting board over a foot rather than be right on top of it, right? Like, we can alter and make changes in our behavior to support us from not experiencing the same pain. Now, step 6, super important, super, super important. Make amends with all of yourself. Receive the allness of who you are. This is how we get out of the shame spiral. You can do all those 5 steps, and that's making amends with the other person. You're going to feel somewhat better, but you've got to make amends with this part of you that is a part of who you are. You can't shut it down. You can't say it doesn't exist, and you can't define yourself by it either. You don't want to shame this part of you away. You could, but you don't want to. You need this side of you. And so I really had to come back to that I love, love, love the side of me that demands respect, the side of me that commands boundaries. I love her, and I love her when she can do it calmly and respectfully to others. I would be an entirely different person and have entirely different relationships if I did not have this side of me. She has standards of how she expects to be treated and that it's important to have boundaries when being disrespected. But there is a difference between her in her empowered self and her disempowered, out of control self. My fear had me lose control, period. I felt threatened and I pounced. I also would never want to get rid of my ability to pounce. Should I or someone I loved ever feel threatened physically, I love that I have the ability to pounce if I need to. So there is a place to honor this part of me and any part of you that you want to shove in a closet and shame and wish it wasn't a part of you. I promise there is a reason why this part of you is a part of you. And it's made from love. And it's made from spirit. And sometimes when you're given a power, you've got to realize how to work with it and how that power can work against you. So what you're doing is receiving the shadow side of your gifts. And we've got to receive the shadow and understand the shadow from love and compassion, just as you would your own child's shadow or someone else you love's shadow. And notice we can have love and compassion, but not give it the permission to just go any direction that it wants. You want to be responsible for this power and gifts and all of you that you've been given to express it in its highest form. So I really want you to get this, because this, just because an emotion went sideways and your behavior crossed a line, it doesn't mean you tuck all this part of you away, because shame is what's holding us back from being your spiritual self. The divine does not make any mistakes in how it made you. It just wants us to learn how to work with the energies we've been given, to know that it's a responsibility, and we respond to our ability. And with emotional empowerment, we're being guided to respond to ourselves with compassion and also to honor and respect the power within us and within others. And it's giving us that line so that we can better follow it for us. This step, again, is so important. Otherwise, your ego is going to use this as ammunition against you. Why, it can have a story about why you're this and why you're that. And it's just one experience. And what I want you to know is those experiences when we mess up is what we came here for, so that we can live more in our divine selves, so that we can remember our divine selves, not be defined by our mistakes. Whatever your beliefs are in a divine power, I hope it comes from love, because I've worked with people from just about every religious background, spiritual background, Buddhism, Muslim, Judaism, Christian, as well as just people who are spiritual. And what I can say is regardless of if there are punitive sides to a belief, even if that exists in a religion, the higher calling always steps back to love and forgiveness. We've been given this human experience to really know what that's like, to be able to give that to ourselves and others. And I promise you, when you are good at doing this for yourselves, you're going to be that much better in giving that to others in a boundaried way, a loving, compassionate, boundaried way. It's the law of polarity that we're experiencing. Law of polarity is we're given experiences of the opposite, of opposition, in order to get clarity of what we want, You will have experiences. I have experiences of being the opposite of who I want to be, of who you want to be. So you become super clear how you're meant to show up, how I'm meant to show up, how we're meant to show up. I'm growing as a parent with this new phase of having three teenagers. It's different. Every stage of parenting is different. That's why they say parenting is so hard, because we've got to continue it to grow and evolve as our children grow and evolve. And it means we've got to change. And the ways that we've worked in one phase of their life is no longer going to work in the next phase. And so we have to be flexible, and we have to grow, and we have to turn inward to see what any triggers are about for you. And when you do this, what you're doing on an energetic level is healing generational patterns that unintentionally got passed down to you and are giving you the opportunity to resolve for future generations. So you're really doing this beautiful ancestral work. While my conscious mind was not aware of my subconscious fears, my emotions went sideways to wake me up, to say, this is what's going on, and we need you to be aware about this so you can show up differently as you parent teenagers. Through awareness, we can all choose better actions, better ways of showing up for ourselves and for those we love. I'm reading a book that I highly recommend if you're into feminine spirituality. It's called Mary Magdalene Revealed by Megan Watterson. And she talks about the seven deadly sins as these seven phases of the ego that we need to evolve. We have to work through and evolve from in order to experience our divinity. And Mary Magdalene does this. So when there were seven demons that were in her, it was really these seven ego transformations. And I really relate to that, that these seven deadly sins are really the seven ways that we're meant to see through our ego and reclaim our divinity. So I invite you to be grateful that if you've ever crossed a line, that you've seen the line, right? So many people cross their line and they blame it on someone else, or they just don't even acknowledge it. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. I acknowledge you that we're in this community. We can be vulnerable with one another. It's not about perfection. I understand if you think the line I crossed is totally horrific. What I invite you to understand is that the way I might cross a line might be different than the ways you may cross a line, but together to see our humanity, and with that, to have compassion, because we're all doing the best that we can. And our emotions are inviting us to come back to our divinity when we've crossed a line by understanding what it was about for ourselves. When you cross a line, it's your spiritual guidance that your behaviors and actions is not your truth, is not your standard. So you can come back to greater power and responsibility for the wholeness and fullness of who you are. It's with love and compassion that I thank you for listening. I hope this supports you to be forgiving and compassionate to yourself. I feel like we as a world need this level of love for ourselves if we want the world to be a reflection of greater love. I hope this serves you, and I look forward to being with you next time. Thank you so much. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training in emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.